May it please the court. My name is Damon Davis. I represent Gail Collard. My attorney number is 34323. Collard's position on appeal is simple. If you build something in the middle of the roadway, you have a duty to make sure it's safe for motorists before you leave it there. Such a duty is supported by Colorado Supreme Court precedent and the general rules for establishing the existence of a duty. And neither completion of the contract nor the construction contract can eliminate that duty. Now, while Collard addressed issues of premises liability and cost in the briefs, it's my intent to primarily address the common law negligence duty, unless there are questions on the other issues. Contractors working on roads have a general duty to make sure that the construction is safe for motorists. This duty is found in the Lanier and Pioneer construction cases, and it includes a duty to provide warnings of hazards in the roadway created by the construction. Now, the Pioneer decision, putting forth the duty to provide these warnings, is not limited to active construction on the road site, as argued by Vista. Such a limitation is not contained within the case.
Yeah, the facts of the case don't involve our situation here, do they? Which is that the work had been, in fact, completed. Now, I realize that you're arguing for an extension of that rule, but is there any Colorado case involving a road contractor that one way or another says there is a duty to warn once you have finished your construction?
I think that would be the, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation, but Swakowski case, in which the landowner, in order to get a development contract, built roadway improvements on a road, extended the road outward according to plans that were approved by the city of Fort Collins, did not include adequate warnings or barricades where the old roadway or the new roadway went into the old roadway, turned over control of the roadway to the city of Fort Collins. City of Fort Collins approved it, accepted it. After that, a child was riding down the road and where it narrowed, and due to the absence of warnings, rode off the roadway into a ditch and was severely injured. This court held that the builder of the road had a duty to that child and was negligent for not putting up the signs and barricades, even though the city had taken possession of the roadway. So I think that case doesn't involve building something in the middle of the roadway, but it still involves a roadway and a failure to include warnings even after the city had accepted the roadway.
That case, a common law negligence case or a premises liability case or both?
I think it was a kind of a combination. It was a common law negligence case. The court looked to the restatement, but it looked to the also to the portion of where you have property adjacent to a roadway and make an improvement to the roadway. So it had some principles of premises liability because it was owning property adjacent to a roadway, but the overarching principle was one of negligence, that there was a duty to make sure that the improvement to the roadway was safe.
Does the duty continue indefinitely?
The duty
especially in context here where it's a subcontractor and the owner accepts the project.
Yeah, once the project is built, once the project is built, there's always the possibility of an indefinite duty for the length of existence of the project, and that's why the Colorado legislature has adopted a statute of repose. But you have a duty to build it safely.
But this isn't an improvement that was built unsafely, as I understand your theory of the case. This is a failure to put up the orange cones.
Correct.
Okay. Well, does that narrow duty last indefinitely?
The duty lasts until the medians are made safe, or until the contractor has taken such steps that a reasonable contractor in its position would take to make the median safe.
Those steps include getting some assurance from the, whether it's a city or county or whoever it is, that they're going to take care of things imminently or immediately?
That might be a reasonable step. Our expert indicated that the step was to make sure that the city was either had put up the permanent ones or was in the process of putting up permanent or its own temporary warnings to make sure that they were safe. So just the city saying it's on the way might not be enough. That would ultimately be a question of fact. What is the reasonable steps it has to take to make sure that this roadway median is safe?
Mr. Davis, why shouldn't Vista Paving's duty end as soon as it completed the work? Because from my reading of the briefs, there was some understanding that somebody from the city had said, okay, no, you're done, your responsibility is over, and now it's the city's responsibility.
Well, it is the law in Colorado that every contract contains within it a duty to perform the contract with due care and skill to avoid foreseeable harm to others. And that duty encompasses going beyond the contract if necessary to make sure that the work is safe. And that was established in the Metropolitan Gas case. I would also disagree that anybody from the city gave assurances that they were going to come in and put up their own warning signs. I would also disagree that that's the interpretation of the contract.
I was going to ask you, is there anything in the record that indicates what the city's responsibility was after the completion of the work by Vista Paving?
All the contract says is that Vista Paving is responsible for providing traffic control in accordance with the manual on uniform traffic control devices. It doesn't put a limit on when the city is supposed to take over control, or it doesn't put say that the city is going to exercise traffic control when it's doing its portion of the work. It just says Vista is responsible for traffic control in accordance with the manual. The manual says you have to have up traffic control devices as long as there's a need for them. Essentially, as long as there's an obstruction in the roadway or some danger in the roadway, you need traffic control devices.
Follow up on that. Regardless of what the contract says, my understanding is that there's affidavits and deposition testimony that at least the city was saying that from their point of view, once Vista was done, they were done, and the city was responsible. I guess the question that I have, is there anything in the record that indicates that the city communicated that to Vista, or that Vista otherwise knew that the city was responsible for taking over the minute they left?
My recollection of the record is nothing to that effect was communicated to Vista. There was an inspector on the scene. The inspector said, looks like you guys are done with your work on these medians. You can go on to the next project. At that point, Vista's president asked, hey, can we take down all these warnings and safety devices? And the inspector said, yeah, sure, if you want to take them, you can take them. But the inspector never said someone else is going to come in and put up new ones. Never gave any indication when Grand Junction 1 was going to arrive on the scene. And in fact, he left before Vista did. So Vista had no indication that someone from the city was going to show up and put up safety devices because no one from the city was there. And no one from the city had told them that they were going to put up devices. And I believe in his deposition, the president, Mr. Gutierrez, said, I had no idea when they were going to put up safety devices. I didn't know if they were going to put up safety devices. It's not my responsibility. So his view was, I built the medians, I'm done. But that's not in accord with the Colorado law on duties with respect to contracts. If you have a contract, you have to carry it out so as to avoid foreseeable harm to others. Here, by taking down the temporary safety devices, it created a significant risk of harm to others because there were no permanent or temporary replacements. And I think an analogous case to this, which supports finding a duty, is the Smith case that we cited. There, the general contractor agreed to get loans and permits for the building of a house, specifically contracted, I'm not going to oversee construction of the house, I'm not going to work on it. But by pulling the permits and getting the loans, those affirmative actions created a foreseeable risk of harm to dangerous portions of the construction, and someone was hurt during those dangerous portions of the construction, and this court said, look, we know you didn't contract to oversee the construction, we know that that was supposed to be left to the homeowner, but you still had a duty, because your affirmative action set in motion a foreseeable risk of harm. So even though you didn't contract to provide safety, you had a duty to oversee the safety anyway, a common law negligence duty, regardless of your contract. The same thing applies here. Vista built the medians, it affirmatively took the actions, took the contract, it created the risk of harm, and the risk of harm was very foreseeable, therefore it had a duty to mitigate that risk of harm by leaving up the safety devices until the city came in and put in the permanent safety devices or replaced them with their own temporary devices. And so that's under the contract. Despite the contract, they have a duty to do that. One of the things that the trial court cited was the lack of control over the medians. Again, with the Swakowski case, the lack of control at the time the injury happens is not determinative. And that was also the Supreme Court in the Bath excavating decision. If you commit an act of negligence, the fact that in construction or building, the fact that negligence doesn't cause harm until after someone else takes over control of the site does not retroactively absolve you from that negligence, and it doesn't eliminate your duty.
But again, the Bath case is a case of the way something got constructed. It wasn't truly a duty to warn case, was it?
It wasn't a duty to warn, but it wasn't also the way something was constructed, because in that case, they were attempting to move a water line, and they damaged the water main. After they damaged the water main, the city came in, took over the site, tried to repair the water main, and in the process, an employee was hurt. And they said that you damaged the water main earlier in the day, that was negligent. The fact that your negligence didn't hurt someone until later doesn't absolve you of that negligence. I think you get the issue again with the duty to warn construction. You look at the Wright decision. There, the contractor negligently built a glass door and out of plate glass instead of tempered glass, failed to put markings on the door so that you could see the door was there. So it looked open even when it was closed, and a child ran into it and it shattered and injured the child. And this court said, even though the original purchaser accepted that door the way it was, the contractor had a duty to build it to avoid that risk that someone might run into this glass door because they didn't know it was there. And the fact that they had given up control over it and the prior owner of the house had accepted it didn't absolve them of that duty. And you have the same thing here. Vista built medians in the middle of the roadway. In the early morning dark hours, they were very difficult to see without the warning devices, but Vista took those away. As a result, Collar didn't know those medians were there and ran into them. So the cases are very analogous, and I would like to preserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. You've got about a minute, 45 seconds for a rebuttal.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Todd Drake on behalf of the Appellee Vista Paving Corporation. To go directly to your question, Judge Loeb, and to some extent your question, Judge Webb, there is no Colorado case that extends the duty for a road contractor to continue to safely warn of potential hazards in the road, certainly not indefinitely, Judge Webb. There just simply isn't that case. The key case on this is the Pioneer Construction case, as Mr. Davis talked about. There, the court talked about a duty of a road contractor is during the course of the construction. So I believe what the issue that's presented here for this court is there any basis under the law in which a road contractor who has completed the work, who is no longer actively engaged in any construction, who has no control or authority over the construction site, again, that's an undisputed fact, no control or authority over the site, there is no contractual provision that requires them to do this, and they have knowledge, they have evidence from another party, in this case the landowner, the city, that they are accepting responsibility for that. Given all those factors, is there any legal basis for finding a duty?
Let's go to what the record says about your last point.
Yes.
What is there in the record that indicates that Vista was notified or had any knowledge that not only did the city have an obligation, but they were going to fulfill that obligation as soon as Vista walked off the job site?
I believe that's addressed in the deposition of Pat McGarry, who is the city inspector who came in. I can't give you the exact page number. I know that at page 1197 of the record, Your Honor, he talked about, in his deposition, he was asked, what'd you do after you advised Vista Paving that they could leave? And he said, well, the next thing I did was I called the city. I called, it's Rick Ripley, the city's traffic supervisor. I called him and said, come out. It's now time for you guys to come out to delineate the lines, to paint this, to do what you need to do. So while I don't know what that specifically addresses, was Mr. Rodriguez, the person on site for Vista Paving, was he specifically told that?
Was anybody from Vista told that?
I think Mr. Rodriguez would be the only person who would have been told that. He was the person on site. There was some dispute as to whether it was him or his brother out there at the time. But I do believe that certainly is. In terms of the affidavit of Mr. McGarry, it's at a minimum certainly implication.
On summary judgment, how can we infer one way or the other? I mean, is there any direct evidence that the people from the city, who I guess it would be McGarry, who called the traffic control people, that he either told personally or called up or sent an email to Vista and said, we're on it?
I think, again, in his deposition, I think he talks about that conversation, Mr. Rodriguez, he authorized them. He said, your work here is done. We are taking over control. You no longer are involved. We will handle any traffic control issues at this point. And that's the reason why he then makes the call to the city traffic control supervisor.
Let me explore that a little bit more.
Okay.
There's a difference between saying you're done and we're going to do X and take control and put these signs up ourselves. It's that second part that I'm interested in, and whether there is actual evidence of that.
And I can't cite the court to a specific instance where there's direct evidence of that. It gets back to, though, Your Honor, I think, again, the only evidence in the record before the court is that the city had accepted that responsibility. Mr. McGarry makes that clear. The work project manager on site at the time as well, Mr. Vinsel, Justin Vinsel, he also in his affidavit indicates, I believe in his deposition as well, indicates that they have accepted the authority and control of the medians as of July 19th, 2007, when Vista Paving has finished its work. They made it clear.
Mr. Drake, if the city accepted the responsibility, as you're saying, do the deposition testimony indicate at all why the city apparently hadn't taken any actions, at least as of the time of Ms. Collard's accident?
Well, that's why I disagree. I believe the record is clear. The city did take actions. Actually, the city came out over the next 4 days and continued to work on the medians. The record, and again, that's in Mr. McGarry's depositions, Mr. Vinsel's. It was actually a part of the TMO. The city continued to do work on the medians, including digging holes, pouring concrete, installing pedestrian bases and poles. They did that for the next 4 days.
Isn't there also undisputed evidence that, notwithstanding the work that they were doing, they didn't put up any of the safety signs, they didn't change the striping of the line, they didn't put up the lights until 5 days later, after she was injured?
It's unclear whether what devices were, lights and things. I think there is certainly, again, only suggestion that there were devices there. They clearly did not paint the lines. They had not changed the lines. That's undisputed. And I think it's also undisputed that they were the only ones responsible for ever dealing with the lines. That was never part of Vista's responsibility to somehow repaint the lines, change the lines to advise motorists, okay, there's now a median out there. But back to your point, Judge Taubman, there is evidence. The city was there for the next 4 days. When the city finished its work on July 23rd, they cleaned up the site on July 23rd. And it was after they cleaned up the site, it's that following morning, it's less than 12 hours later that this accident occurs. So it gets back to your point, Judge Webb, to accept Ms. Collard's position that this is some indefinite duty would require that even if they had knowledge, Judge Webb, even if the city had said, you're fine, we have accepted responsibility for this, we're going to do it, their position would require Vista Paving to come back out and check the appropriateness of those. They would have to come back out on the evening of the 23rd, see that the city was now done, had removed its whatever devices it had, had not repainted the line, and apparently take some active conduct to try and again safeguard against this median.
Let me follow that up, if I could. Is there anything in the record that would inform us as to whether Vista even had any legal power to put traffic control devices into the roadway once its work had been accepted and it had been discharged?
I think the evidence, again, is from the affidavit, Your Honor, that they indicate, and it, again, it's primarily Mr. McGarry, he indicates that the city has sole authority and control over the medians at that point, that Vista Paving has no authority or control over the medians. I to your point, I believe Vista Paving would have been trespassing had they come back out there and done something on the median. For example, let's say the city had taken some action, city had put in some form of barricade or lights or something, and Vista Paving came out and said, well, we don't like that, we don't think it's appropriate, or we're going to change that somehow, and now the accident occurs, and now the argument is, well, you should have kept the lights and barricades that were in place by the city. There's simply, they can't extend the duty beyond that. So to your point, the record, yes, I think it is clear that Vista Paving had no legal authority to still be out there at that time. Ms. Collins argued that they could have been called back out, that they could have done modifications to the, you know, the city could have said, we'd like you to modify the median somehow, but the evidence is clear they never were requested to do that. This occurred, and then the city went ahead and took the additional action of repainting the lines.
Mr. Drake, the briefs contain some reference to cones that were apparently placed near the medians by some hospital. What does the record show about that? And does it, and in your view, was the hospital trespassing if it, when it put those cones down?
Well, I think that would have to be the case. That happened after the accident, Your Honor. What happened was that after the accident, they came out there and said, okay, well, we'll go ahead and put some cones out. Clearly, they didn't have any duty to do it, but yes, they don't control. They're clearly not the landowner. They don't possess that land. They have no authority to be on that land, to do anything on that land. And so, yes, in a technical sense, the hospital would have trespassed by coming and putting cones on it. Do I think it was, you know, a nice idea? I'm sure. But that doesn't change the fact that they didn't have a duty to do it, and that's what the focus of this is. Quickly, a lot of arguments have been made, and it wasn't as much here today, but in the briefs, very much on this, the completed and accepted doctrine. I submit, Your Honors, that this court doesn't need to address whether or not the completed and accepted doctrine is the law in Colorado or not. That was not the basis of the trial court's decision.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. He didn't use those words, or the trial court didn't use those words, but isn't that effectively what the trial court was doing, particularly when it relied on that language, that one clause, yes, or sentence from the Lindauer case? Right. I mean, I think you can read the trial court's ruling as doing exactly that and applying what everybody talks about as being the completed and accepted doctrine. Because he looked at things like privity and contract and all the kinds of things that are the philosophical basis behind that doctrine.
And that's exactly why I think we know that the trial court didn't use the completed and accepted doctrine. He made it very clear in his order on motion for reconsideration. I am not talking about privity of contract. My summary judgment order is in no way based on privity of contract. I've not considered that at all. Instead, what the trial court said, the reason why it grants summary judgment was it found under the undisputed evidence that Vista Paving had relinquished control of the medians on July 19th, that the city had accepted responsibility for those medians and was solely in control and had authority for it at that point. So to that point, I agree. The court certainly cited Lindauer. That's what it stands for. But I think in the motion for reconsideration, the order on that, the court made it clear that was not what it was doing. It was not saying because the work's been completed and because some acceptance by the city, I'm finding there's no duty. I think the issue of acceptance, because they've tried to create an issue of whether or not it was partial acceptance or final acceptance, acceptance isn't the issue in the case. The issue goes back to authority and control, back to do they have a legal right to be on that, on the land and do anything, and do they have a legal duty that requires them to do anything? And there's nothing within Colorado, back to your point, Judge Loeb, there is no Colorado case that holds that. In terms of the, I think it's been clear this out here at oral argument, but part of the briefing is that this claim that Vista Paving had some duty to construct these medians in a proper, that there was somehow some negligent construction or the median itself was a dangerous condition. Yes, that Judge Webb, I think it's been essentially conceded today. No, there, it's not, the claim is not that the median was somehow built wrong. In fact, the claim in the trial court, they made it very clear that wasn't their claim. Their claim relates to not putting up orange cones. So to the extent there's any claim that negligent construction gets out, and that is significant because the cases that Mr. Davis has cited related to duties of a contractor, first of all, none of those involved road contractors, but where those duties have been recognized, it's because there are special conditions. There's in the issue of the Smith case that he cited, that was essentially a non-feasance issue where the person came in and said, I'll serve as your general contractor so you can get funding. And they found there was a special relationship between that individual and the person who was harmed. That was the basis of the duty. Special relationship required for non-feasance, which is essentially what they argue here. In the Swakowski case, the reason they found, it's back to your point, Judge, the reason a duty was found there was because that was a landowner. Landowners have duties here. That's what the city is in this case. The city's the landowner of that median. And to your question, I think it very clearly is a premises liability case. It's not discussed in the context of the Premises Liability Act because it predates the Premises Liability Act, but they're talking about the landlord and the landlord's knowledge of conditions on the property. And so that's why I think that one goes directly to it. The Metropolitan Gas as well, that's cited in the briefs, that was found to have a duty because there was some contractual basis for that duty. Within the contract itself, the contractor had agreed to take on responsibility for safeguarding the project in the future. It's undisputed. There is no evidence here within the contract that they took on that duty, that Vista Paving took on that duty. Again, Mr. Davis talks about that, yes, under the manual of uniform traffic control devices, that's what they had to do. Your Honor, in the expert report submitted by Ms. Collard, their own expert acknowledges that Vista Paving, while it was on site, did exactly what it was supposed to do under the manual uniform traffic control device act. It had put up signs, it had put up barriers, put up cones, done what it needed to do.
That's not the issue here. The issue is what, if anything, do they have to do once they leave the site?
Exactly. Yeah.
And as near as I can tell, there's no Colorado case on point that deals with that.
I don't believe there is, Your Honor. I think the cases that are cited by Ms. Collard throughout the brief relate to either homeowners and homeowner construction. In the case of the Bath excavating, it was because someone came out and negligently damaged a water line. And nothing to do with coming out as a road contractor, building something required by the city or ordered by the city, finishing the work and moving on. I see my time is up. I thank you for your time, Your Honors. I think the record is clear. There is no evidence under which or law in Colorado that establishes a duty for Vista Paving in this case. We therefore ask that you affirm.
Mr. Drake. Davis, you got 45 seconds for any rebuttal you would like.
I'd like to begin by answering the question of whether Vista had authority to be on the property and or permission, and it did, and that is in the record. Mr. McGarry, the city inspector, was asked if Vista had said, hey, can we leave our signs here, can we leave up our orange cones, would you have allowed them to do that? And he answered, yes, I'd let them leave the cones up. So he didn't have a problem with that idea. It also relates to, the question relates to the interpretation of the contract. The contract itself says simply that Vista is responsible for traffic control without it placing any limitations on when or where that traffic control should be. Now, any testimony from the affidavits, occurred and was developed after this incident took place. So any opinions regarding the interpretation of that contract are only applicable if the contract is itself ambiguous as to Vista's control of the site. And if the contract's ambiguous, it's a question of fact. The jury gets to decide, do we believe the city's interpretation or do we believe the plain language interpretation that Vista's in charge of the work site. Also, plaintiff's expert Bragdon used to work for the city. He trained Mr. McGarry. He said under the contract, they could have left the cones there. That would have been fine under the contract. Briefly to address a couple of the cases, I don't think they involve special relationships. I think if you look at them, they involve common law duties. In particular, Metro Gas said the contract was to build the motor. The damage was with the valve. He had a duty to look at the valve. I see my time is up. We ask for, based on the arguments, that you reverse the decision of the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel for your very helpful arguments. The case will stand submitted. We'll issue an opinion in due course.